This is KFIZ Radio and First Presbyterian Church, located at 1225 4th Street here in Fond du Lac. Thank you for joining us this morning in prayer and devotion.
Please join me as we read responsively Psalm 37, verses 1 through 11 and 39 and 40. Don't get upset over evildoers. Don't be jealous of those who do wrong, because they will fade fast like grass. They will wither like green vegetables.
Trust the Lord and do good.
Live in the land and farm faithfulness. Enjoy the Lord, and he will give you what your heart asks.
Commit your way to the Lord. Trust him. He will act and will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, your justice like high noon.
Be still before the Lord and wait for him.
Don't get upset when someone gets ahead, someone who invents evil schemes.
Let go of anger and leave rage behind. Don't get upset, it will only lead to evil.
Because evildoers will be eliminated, but those who hope in the Lord, they will possess the land.
In just a little while, the wicked won't exist. If you go looking around their place, they won't be there.
But the weak will inherit the land. They will enjoy a surplus of peace.
The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their refuge in times of trouble.
The Lord will help them and rescue them. Rescue them from the wicked, and he will save them, because they have taken refuge in him.
Today's gospel reading comes from Luke's gospel, the sixth chapter, as we continue through the sixth chapter, verses 27 to 38. Listen for the word of the Lord. But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on the cheek, offer the other one as well. If someone takes your coat, don't withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who asks, and don't demand your things back from those who take them. Treat people in the same way that you want them to treat you. If you love those who love you, why should you be commended? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, why should you be commended? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those whom you expect repayment, why should you be commended? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be paid back in full. Instead, love your enemies, do good, and lend expecting nothing in return. If you do, you will have a great reward. You will be acting the way children of the Most High act, for he is kind to ungrateful and wicked people. Be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Don't judge, and you won't be judged. Don't condemn, and you won't be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good portion, packed down, firmly shaken, and overflowing, will fall into your lap. The portion you give will determine the portion you receive in return. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward. So, what did I bring today?
A heart.
What do you think of when you think of a heart?
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, what else? Can you see what that says on there? I have Jesus in my heart. We think about love when we think about hearts, don't we? Yeah. So who are some people that you love?
God.
God, good answer. Yeah. Moms and dads and brothers and sisters, right? Maybe grandmas and grandpas. Who else? Maybe your best friend. Maybe a teacher. We love the people who love us, don't we? and take care of us, right? So are there any boys or girls that maybe are sometimes mean? Yeah, sometimes that happens. And sometimes when people are mean to us, sometimes our heart gets a little bit turned upside down or backwards. And sometimes when those unkind things happen to us, mean things happen to us, we want to be mean back. Do you ever want to be mean back? Really? Oh, I'm glad. That's good. That's good. But you know what? A lot of times people think, oh, they're being mean. I'm going to be mean back. But did you hear what Pastor just read? Jesus was talking about how when unkind things happen to us, we don't need our hearts to be turned upside down. We need to share kindness back. And sometimes when people do mean or unkind things, our hearts get all jumbled up again. And we want to be aggressive. We want to protect the things that are ours, and we want to force people to do what we want them to do. And Jesus reminds us that to be real strong, we can show mercy and forgiveness and grace and love. And sometimes when people are being mean and our hearts get all twisted up, we think about hurting others and calling names because we think that'll help us feel better. But Jesus tells us that through forgiveness, that's how we really feel better. So it's easy to love the people that love us and are kind to us. And it's kind of hard to love the people who aren't. And Jesus said, but when you are doing that, when you are being kind, even to those who are hurting us, you're acting like children of God. And when you do that, you are showing people God's love, and you are being a good example to others what to do. And sometimes you might even find that your enemies, those people who are being mean to you, might even become your friends. So is that pretty easy to do all those things? Nope. And it's not easy for grown-ups either. No, it isn't. But take a look at my picture I have on the screen today. Do you see that heart up there? That heart has lots of hands on it. I picked that picture of the heart because I wanted us to remember that we don't do these things all by ourselves. We do these things with the help of all the people that love us. Our community of faith here, your family at home, right? All of those people help us. So those days when our hearts are all twisted up and hurting, we have other people that help us to turn it around and help us to remember what to do. When you are having a time that you're not sure what to do because your heart hurts so bad, who should you talk to? You should talk to the people who love you. And who loves you the most in the whole world? Your mom? You know what? God even loves you even more than that. Yep, your mom. And so you need to talk with mom, and you need to talk with God. And the first thing that we need to do is always remember to talk with God about those things when our hearts are hurting. So I hope that your heart is not hurting, but there are going to be some days that it is. And when it does, remember that you are not alone, that there are people in this world that love you so much, and even more than all the people in the world that love you, God loves you. Let's take a little time, let's say a little prayer. Loving and gracious God, it's easy to love those who love us. And when our hearts get turned upside down and backwards, help us to remember that loving our enemies starts with us talking and listening to you. Help us to love our enemies so that they may know that we are children of God and that they are loved by you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, Amen.
Let us pray. Lord, speak through me and open the eyes of our hearts so that your holy word may illumine the hopes of your kingdom, compelling us to live it out in the everyday and ordinary of our life. Amen. In 1985, the Christian duo DeGarmo and Key, Christian singers, released a song called Casual Christian. And every once in a while, I still sing out the chorus of this, usually when I'm all alone, driving in vehicle, feeling kind of beaten down in my faith, feeling like I'm failing at being a disciple of Christ. Those times when I say, I really missed an opportunity. Why? When I'm longing to trust God and to live out my faith more and more, I'll just all of a sudden burst out into a prayerful song. I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a lukewarm life. Because I want to light up the night with an everlasting light. I don't want to live a casual Christian life. And I just repeat that over and over. And that's my prayer to God, saying, break me out of this casual mode. The rest of their lyrics include the following. It's more than a wish, more than a daydream. It's more than just a passing whim. Yes, I've said this all before, 1,000 times or more. I don't want to waste my life in chains of sin. This life is filled with strong distractions. One pulls from the left, one from the right. I've already made up my mind. I'm going to leave this world behind. I'm going to make my life a living sacrifice. I don't want to be a casual Christian. I don't want to live a casual Christian life. Those are the words that, when spoken or sung in prayer to God, they help to reshape our perspective on life, redirect the trajectory of our hearts. It's a recalibration. And that, I believe, is what Luke intended for us to hear as he captured this account of Jesus' sermon on the plain. When Jesus said, but I say to you who are willing to hear. Jesus is speaking not only to his disciples, but to all of us. To those of us who do not want to live a casual, lukewarm, mediocre religious life. At the opening of today's text, Jesus says, but I say to you who are willing to hear. And then he gives us four different commands for practical applications, for practices to be lived out in response to the preceding situation that came just before. It's easy for us to forget from one week to the next what happened just before that. From last Sunday's reading just before this, Jesus talks about the blessings and the woes. Blessed are you, woe to you. Blessed are you who are poor, who are hungry, who weep. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, when they revile you and defame you on account of the Son of Man. These commands in today's text, which begin with love your enemies, easy one, right? They need to be taken in context. They're to be our response on how you are treated because of your faith in Jesus Christ. They're not actions directed towards someone who's abusing you, perhaps. They're not directions towards someone who's harming you for some other reasons outside of your faith. That's a topic for another day. We are to try to still love those people. But this is specifically about those who are against you because you choose to follow Jesus Christ. It's good for us to admit that very few of us, if any of us really, have ever experienced any real persecution because of our faith in Jesus. Like the disciples at this point in their lives, we've not really experienced persecution for our faith in Jesus. We've lived in a time and a place where our Christian faith has been more or less assumed. It's been the norm. And unfortunately, this recent history in the modern West has created many casual Christians, lukewarm Christians who don't fully live out that way of Jesus. Too often, we've taken our faith for granted. We need to be among those who are willing to hear the words of Jesus. In this text, to hear, it implies not just hearing with our ears, that auditory reception. Yep, check, 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 can you hear me? Yep. No, to hear means to apply it. To say, I'm going to be attentive, I'm going to be obedient, and I'm going to respond to what's been spoken. My life is going to be changed. I'm going to be different because of God. Those who are willing to hear, they identify themselves with the blessed in the midst of their unjust suffering. Those who are willing to hear implies a willingness, a desire to do something about what we've just heard. Describes a lifestyle as being merciful like God. The world needs more examples of that lifestyle. I don't want to be a casual Christian. And I don't want to live a casual Christian life. If you're among those who are willing to hear, willing to take action, willing to live out your faith in a way that maybe people are going to hate you, exclude you, revile you, defame you because you want to leave this world behind. You want to make your life a living sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Countercultural. Then here are the four commands in today's scripture from Jesus. Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who mistreat you. All of these are present imperatives in the original Greek, which means they're commands that are to be done continually. Not just, yep, I checked the box on that one. I did that once in my life. Okay, made it through that. This is an ongoing, habitual practice of our life. That makes loving our enemies seem even more difficult. Who are our enemies? Well, as I've mentioned, you know, an enemy is somebody, obviously, who's antagonistic to somebody else, seeking to do wrong. Specifically here, though, in this context, based off of verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you, revile you, defame you, on account of the Son of Man. Enemies, people who want to do wrong because you say you believe in Jesus Christ and you live your life differently. This word love is unconditional love. It's not that brotherly love, oh yeah, I can deal with that. It's a love that only God can offer. We are incapable, outside of the Holy Spirit working through us, to be able to love this kind of way. It's a commitment to the well-being of others, regardless of personal cost, not based on reciprocation. It's not transactional. How do we show this kind of love to people who hate us because we're Christians? It starts out maybe in some smaller ways. To do good to those who hate you. Somebody who detests you. Maybe they look at you and maybe they're just jealous, but maybe they've been taught something else other than Christianity and they despise you and hate you. We're to do good to them, to treat them who detest us because of our faith in Jesus with honor, to treat them in such a way that they can't blame us for doing anything wrong. Even though they want to wrong us, we need to treat them in as best a way as we can. That's an action and a way, a practice to lead us into that is the next one, to pray for those who mistreat you. To mistreat someone means to threaten them, to insult them. falsely accuse someone. If that happens, we're to pray for them. That means to place it at the foot of the cross and to say, okay, God, you deal with them. You know I want to deal with them, but I know you don't want me to, so take care of them, God, in whatever manner it means. A couple of phrases that my dad used to say was to take the high road, kill them with kindness. My kids have probably heard those same words over and over numerous times. Rather than allowing ourselves to lower our standards and become like others around us, we have to put our trust in God. Trust that God is protecting us, that God knows what's best, that there's nothing anybody can say to us or do to us that God can't handle. It's easy for us to become bitter towards those who continually mistrust us, mistreat us, but it's difficult to become bitter about somebody that you're daily praying for. So to pray for someone on a regular basis helps us to gain a different perspective for that person. And in that time when we're not face-to-face with them, when we don't have those emotionally charged reactions, we can come up with a response then that is a little more along the kind edge, leading us to those times of being able to show unconditional love and to say, okay, God, they're in your hands. I want them to change and to know you. That's not going to come about if we lower ourselves and retaliate hate with hate. Now, Jesus follows these commands with two important instructions. He says, we're not to treat others based on how they treat us, but rather on how God treats us. And secondly, this way of life is to be lived out in community, not individually. We often look to the golden rule. Treat others as you would want to be treated. Sometimes we twist that around and say, well, then I'm going to treat others the way that they've treated me. That's not the golden rule. We need to treat others the way that God has treated us. If you love someone who loves you, why should you be commended? That word commended is translated in our text today. It's the same word that we get grace from. God's grace. We need to offer God's grace to others. If we love those who love us, that doesn't take any grace. But to show love to someone that hates you, that's your enemy, that's working against you because of your faith, that takes true grace. We can love anyone who loves us. We can lend to anyone that we know is going to repay us. But that sort of love, that sort of interaction, that's transactional. If we love someone because they've loved us, as we talked with the confirmation youth this week, if we show hospitality because someone has shown hospitality to us, we just negate all the hospitality. To simply accept it and not try to repay it, to not even out the score. That's what God wants us to do, so that we can learn what it truly means to receive God's grace, God's acceptance, and then offer that even to our enemies. And that final point about doing this in community rather than as individuals, great majority of this Sermon on the Plain here in Luke's Gospel, including these commands to love our enemies, to show mercy, it's spoken in the plural to the community of believers. This way of life, it's not meant to be done alone. If it's just a me and Jesus thing, it's not going to work. I need accountability from other humans. We all need to encourage one another. We live, we act in community, which means, bluntly, that we need to deepen our relationships with one another. We need to learn to trust one another. If we, who gather together for worship, if we cannot trust each other fully, then we need to deepen those relationships and we need to get to know one another and develop those relationships. It takes time. It also takes intentional actions. Spending time with people that we don't know and asking questions. It's part of our goal with our Lenten journey is to be able to spend time together outside of worship, over a meal, breaking bread together, and talking, getting to know one another at a deeper level. Are you satisfied being a casual Christian, living a lukewarm life of faith? Or, as we close out this season of Epiphany, is our desire, our corporate desire, as God's people gathered here in this place at this time, is it to continue to gather together, to light up the night with an everlasting light of Jesus' love, the grace that's been given to us? May we commit to gather together, learning with each other what it means to love our enemies. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us in this time of prayer and devotion. We are First Presbyterian Church in Fond du Lac. We are Christians serving, learning, and loving. You can find us on the web at www.fdlpresbyterian.org. We are located at 1225 4th Street and have in-person worship on Sundays at 9 a.m.